Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
This world is filled with quick fix solutions that don't last and frankly don't work. We're all facing difficult questions and circumstances beyond our control. Are you up against the wall? Well, Jesus can make the difference. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to find out how with Dr. Paul Chappell. Diets to self-help books to relationships and career decisions to family issues, every human being is looking for something that will make a difference, looking for solutions to questions that are bigger than us. Does this describe you? I know it describes me at times. Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study the difference that Jesus makes, because we really do believe the Bible is clear. Jesus Christ is really the difference that every one of us is longing for in our hearts. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series, The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're going to discover that Jesus is the solution that truly does make a difference for all of eternity. Before we join today's message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. This is the best way to interface with us at Daily in the Word and let us know that you're listening. Click on the Contact Us button, jot us a quick email, and let us know that our program is touching your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us and contributing to our airtime support? Every dollar you invest into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for the costs of airtime that we might continue teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God all across the country. On the website, you'll find a host of other resources and information, locations where Pastor Chappell will be speaking in the coming months, also linked to the Alaska cruise information and so many other resources. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But first, today's message is entitled Making a Difference in Our Homes. If you understand anything about family life, you understand that the challenges and the needs are bigger than any one person can fulfill. And that's where Jesus Christ makes such a difference in our homes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9.
We are gathered here this morning to learn how Jesus Christ and the Bible can make a difference in our lives and in our families. And as a fundamental Bible-believing church, we believe in the infallibility of the Scriptures. We believe that God's Word is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. This is a timeless book with God's message for every age. What a wonderful time in life to be saved. What a wonderful time to serve the Lord. This week in our nation's capital, our nation will celebrate the inauguration of a new president, Barack Obama. It's an amazing tribute to our democracy that the son of an African immigrant could be elected to serve as the president of the greatest land in all of the world. And as we think about our command from the Scripture, every one of us are commanded to pray for those in authority over us. We're commanded to pray for those who have leadership. Many of you, like me, perhaps have studied some of the events leading up to the inauguration, and you've seen the train ride, and you've heard about some of the speakers and singers. And this past week, I caught a clip from the New York Times that told about one of the pastors who will be praying at a ceremony at Lincoln Memorial as the caravan stops on the way to the podium for the inauguration. This particular service is new this year. This service at the Lincoln Memorial, which you may hear about on the news this week, will be presided over, and the prayer will be given by an Episcopal bishop from New Hampshire. He's been invited by our new president to pray at this service. And this particular Episcopal bishop is named Bishop Robinson. Bishop Robinson presides over the New Hampshire churches. And there's something that needs to be stated about his particular lifestyle, and that is that he is an avowed homosexual bishop. And this particular man who will say the prayer has been quoted in the New York Times as saying, "I am horrified, as I have read other inaugural prayers, to see the aggressively Christian nature of the prayers." He said, and I quote, "Let me be very clear. My prayer will not be a Christian prayer, and I won't be quoting scripture or anything like that." He said, "In my prayer, I am going to pray to the God of our many understandings." This is the language I learned from my 12-step program when I attended my alcohol classes. I want to just pause for a moment and say that we will not build a strong nation, and we will never build strong families if we are looking to the postmodern God of our many understandings for help. We must look to the God of all understanding for our help. We must determine to follow God's will and not our will. We must not look for a God that will fit to our particular beliefs, but we must follow the Word of God every step of the way. I recognize that in many ways the desire for inclusivism is encouraging. The desire to help all people is a wonderful, wonderful goal. But do you realize that many deeds of man are renounced by God in the Bible? Do you realize that many of the commandments of God are very exclusive? And God says that He cannot tolerate the sinful acts of men. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins. And so we must understand this morning, the Bible teaches in Colossians 1 and verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." My friends, we're gathered here today not to pray to the small g God of many understandings, but we are here to pray to the large g God who has all knowledge and all understanding. And we must follow His will and His path for our lives. And so as we get started today, the fundamental question is, will we follow God and His Word, or will we look for a God that agrees with the way we want to live? You see, God is a God of order. And His Word will bring order to your home. And His Word will make a difference in your home. You can rebel against God if you want, but it is only to the detriment of your home and your family. You can yield to God if you will, and He will bless your family all the days of your life. Say, for example, I was on the freeway today, and driving down the freeway, let's say the Antelope Valley Freeway, and maybe going about, let's just say for the sake of the illustration, 110 miles an hour. How many of you would like to drive that fast just one time, all right? Let's say I'm driving down the highway 110 miles an hour, and all of a sudden the red lights are behind me, and he's pulling me over. And as the police officer comes up to me, he says, "I want to tell you something. You're going to be lucky if I don't throw you in jail. And do you realize how fast you were going?" And he begins to tell me all these things. And what if all of a sudden I said to him, "But officer, you don't understand. I follow the driver's manual of many understandings. And what's right for some people isn't right for me. I want to drive the way I want to drive." You know what? That's going to get about that far with that police officer. And one day when you stand before God, and you will, you don't want to stand before Him and say, "Well, God, I just kind of went the way of many understandings." You want to say, "Lord, I have come here by the way of the cross, and I have done my best to follow Your Word all the days of my life." And so what is God's understanding for your family? How does God teach us in this family manual called the Bible about the family unit and how it is to function? We know that there are many so-called alternative lifestyles, and we know that there are many ready to lend credence to them. But what does the Bible say? After all, this is a church. And that's why we're here today, to learn what the Bible says. And so let's get into it this morning. First of all, if you're going to have a different kind of a family that honors God, you must have a different attitude in your family, an attitude of humility. Notice the Bible in verse 3 says, "Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." Now, God is calling here in this text for husbands and wives to have an attitude of humility one towards another. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." The Bible teaches it is only by pride that fightings and contentions come. And God teaches us in His Word that we within the heart must possess a humility toward Him and towards our spouse. There must first of all be a humility toward God. The Bible speaks of that in verse number 4, that meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God a great price. The world places great emphasis on the outward adorning. And you read about that in verse 3. That word adorning speaks of decoration outwardly. It's from the Greek word cosmos. It's from which we get the word cosmetics. It speaks about fixing things up on the outward. And in moderation, there's nothing wrong with that. I believe God wants us to take care of the temple He's given to us, and He wants us to make sure we're looking right and clean and so forth. But what the text is teaching us is that the world's tendency is to put all the emphasis on how we look outwardly, all the cosmetics, but we forget what's most important, the hidden man of the heart. And God says, "I'm looking at your heart, husband, and I'm looking at your heart, wife, and I want to see that you honor me from the heart." God is looking for humility of the heart. And as He speaks in this passage about the hidden man of the heart, He is speaking about the most important part of the Christian life. Sometimes people think that a fundamental Bible-believing church like this places all the emphasis on how the kids look or how the choir looks and so forth. And I believe all of that is important, but I believe it needs to flow from a heart of humility to God. And I believe when there's something different going on in your heart, it's going to be reflected in the way that you live your outward life. And I believe very strongly in the fact, however, that we must from the heart do the will of God, as the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, you show me a man with a proud heart, he'll tell you everything that's wrong with his wife. He'll tell you why it's okay to cheat on his wife. He'll tell you why he can go ahead and do things on the internet. Why? Because he has a proud, selfish heart. But God has called us to have a heart of humility, humility of heart. This is something that every marriage must have. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance," speaking of the elder brother of David, "or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And God says, I want you as a man, as a woman, a husband, a wife, to have a humble heart. Show me a couple that's arguing, I'll show you a selfish, proudful couple. God says, humble yourself before me. There must be humility of heart. There must be, secondly, meekness of spirit. The Bible says there in verse number 4 that a woman is to have an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And I believe in a sense that this is godly counsel for every one of us, to have a spirit of meekness, a spirit that is at rest. And that will be reflected in your speech, Colossians 4:6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man." And so we must begin our marital discussion this morning with the understanding that we are to be humble before Almighty God. You see, it's not about getting many understandings of many religions and your understanding and your understanding, your understanding. It's about the two of you in your family or the six of you in your family coming into the surrender of the Word of God and saying, "Lord, we as a family humble ourselves before you. And we want you to lead this family." Humility before God. That will lead, secondly, to humility before one another. God wants us to humble ourselves one before another. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 1 of this chapter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Something similar is said in verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, this type of concept, these verses, if you are not humble towards the Lord, these verses really frustrate you. These kinds of teachings are not real acceptable to our proud society today, because no one wants to submit themselves to someone else. Everyone wants their rights and their ways, and they want it right now. But God says that we're to humble ourselves before one another. Now that happens on three venues, and I want you to see those very quickly. First, again, we see that this is expressed in our submission to God. Again, being right with one another always begins with being right with God. Let me say that again. If you want your horizontal relationships to function properly as a Christian, your vertical relationship must be in line. You cannot be right with your spouse if you are not right with God. And so the Bible is very clear that we must be in submission to God. One of my most helpful Bible verses is Ephesians 5:1. And it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Let's say that together. Be ye therefore followers of God as little children, they trust us, they listen to us. God wants us to have that heart towards Him. He wants us to follow Him as little children. And while the Scriptures admonish a wife to place herself under the authority of her husband, all of us are under God's authority, and we must be submissive to God. Then the second avenue, of course, is expressed in our submission one to another. When we speak about humility and how it is demonstrated first by being submissive to God. Secondly, by being submissive or yielded one to another. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." God wants a husband and wife to yield themselves one to another. The husband's the head of the home, yes, but he ought to be looking for ways and opportunities to yield to his wife and to meet her needs, and each of us yielding one to another, giving preference and honor one to another. Now, as we look in the Scriptures, we see first we're to be submitted to God, secondly to one another. Notice thirdly then, it is expressed in a wife's submission to her own husband. In a wife's submission to her own husband, verse 1, be in subjection to your own husband. That word is a Greek military term, which means to fall in line. It means to come in a voluntary attitude of cooperation and assume your responsibility. And a godly wife and a humble wife is a wife that says to her husband, "I want to support your leadership. I want to come in line with you and help you glorify God in our family." I believe it was Matthew Henry who said, "The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to top him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved by him." You see, when the Bible tells a woman to submit to her husband, it is not implying that she is spiritually inferior, nor is it implying that she is intellectually inferior. There are times, if you're honest as a Christian husband, when your wife has been closer to the Lord than you. And there may be areas where she is far ahead of you in some area academically, perhaps. But it does say that God is a God of order, and that God's intention in family design is that there would be order and leadership. You see, this is God's plan, Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Other verses say to do it as unto the Lord. And oh, there are times when a husband is maybe not living the way he should, and it's difficult for the wife to support that leadership. Now, I want to say something, husbands. If you will be a husband that is completely submissive to God, and if you'll be a husband that is yielding yourself to your wife and looking for ways to be a blessing to her, yielding your will to her, it is a lot easier for that wife to support and submit to you. It is a blessing to a wife when a husband is yielded to the Lord. God bless you men for being here today and for endeavoring to live after the things of the Lord. Now, when a husband is not all that he should be, we still counsel a wife to support her husband. For the Bible says there in verse 1 that she may without the word win her husband by her own testimony. And yes, that is biblical to follow your husband, and he will not always be right. But how much greater is it for a wife whose husband is following the Lord? Where does that all begin, this following the Lord and yielding to one another and supporting the husband? That seems archaic. We don't hear much about that. We don't see that on television today. Where does that come from? It comes from people submitted and humble before a holy God. People who realize that God is the authority. And so we must have a different attitude if we're going to have a Christ-like marriage, and it is an attitude of humility. Notice, secondly, we must have a different anticipation. A different anticipation with marriage. And that anticipation is an anticipation to help. Now, most people enter into their marriage with false anticipations, and those expectations set us up for disappointment and sometimes discouragement. Most fellas have it like this, you know, after I get married, I'm going to work my 8 hours and I'm going to drive back an hour home. When I get home, the house is going to smell like roast beef. There's going to be music playing in the house. There's going to be candles lit everywhere. My wife will have the meal ready just as soon as we're done eating. The kids will already be asleep. She'll have already taken care of that. As soon as we're done eating, she'll either want to scratch my head or rub my shoulders on alternating days. And unfortunately, we come into marriage anticipating what we get out of it. We forget that if our wife has kids, she's been working all day too. We forget some of those types of things. What should we anticipate? What is it that we should expect in marriage? We should expect to love and serve our spouse. We should come into the marriage looking for what we can give in the marriage, not just for what we can receive. Verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation. That means your pure lifestyle. And here we see what kind of spouse God has called us to be. First, we see a helpful wife is a godly wife. God calls the wife to be the helpmeet, to be the completer, Genesis 2:18. Titus 2:5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. A spiritually mature spouse is looking for ways to serve and be a blessing, looking for ways to help and be an encouragement.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We are studying a series entitled The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're discovering that Jesus is not a quick fix or a self-help solution. He is the eternal truth. He is the God-man that wants to come into your life and have a personal relationship with you. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to make that decision right now. You, wherever you are, you could bow your head and heart and invite Him into your life as your personal Savior. He will come in and save you, and it is the greatest decision you could ever make. We would love to know if you have trusted Christ as a result of listening to Daily in the Word. Would you take a moment and write to us or call us or contact us via the website? Let us send you a Bible. Let us help you grow in your Christian faith. Before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a word of personal greeting.
We're excited about the Alaska cruise coming August 6th through 13th, 2011. I want to invite all of our Daily in the Word listeners to plan now to join with us as we sail north to Alaska, take time daily around the Word of God, enjoy good Christian music, and great fellowship with fellow believers. August 6th through 13th, 2011, will mark a wonderful celebration of God's goodness and grace, and I hope you'll plan to join with us as we sail together to Alaska.
The easiest way to contact us here at Daily in the Word is to visit dailyintheword.org and simply click on the button that says Contact Us. You can send us an email, give us information about yourself, and let us know that our program is ministering to you. We rejoice greatly every time we hear from our listeners, and we know that our program is touching your life. While you're on the website, I encourage you to take a moment and explore. You'll find a lot of resources to help you grow in your Christian life. If you enjoyed today's message, you could hear it again, you could download it, you could give it to a friend and refer those you love. You could also subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and other podcasts from our ministry. But the Daily in the Word podcast will download this program to your iPod or computer or your portable player at your convenience. You can listen to it anytime on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word if perhaps this program is not broadcast in their area. A lot of other information can be found on the site. One thing I would like to ask you to do in specific, and that is to prayerfully consider contributing and supporting the ministry of Daily in the Word, even on a regular monthly basis. Regardless of the size of your gift to Daily in the Word, your gift will be invested into the airtime costs of this program all across the country. We love to minister, we love to teach and preach the Word of God, but it's listeners like you who faithfully contribute and help us accomplish this mission that really make it possible. If you'd like to be a part of our ministry, you can click on the donate button when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.